This morning, our message is the trial of your faith. And I know that a lot of what we're going to look at here this morning, many of us know. And yet many of us are going through quite a bit of trials of faith. And I think for me especially, if not for anyone else here, this message is a very much of an encouragement and a strength to my heart and life as we look again at scriptures that we know, but are also encouraged in walking in them. So if you'll take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, I will read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we look to you and your word, we ask now that you open our hearts and that you speak to us through your word and encourage and strengthen us in your word through the power of your Holy Spirit living in and through us. And may we see truths that we need, and may you engraft these truths in our heart, that we walk in them, and we give you praise in your precious name. Amen. You know, we are living in what I would consider very trying times. And these trying times are especially trying to our faith and our trust in the Lord and his work in and through our lives and the things that are going on today. You know, there are so many things that we have to make decisions for day after day. There are so many things that we need to, we trust God and we ask God, should I do this or should I not do that, in the sense of our daily living and daily lives. And yet not always does it seem to work out. We look at the idea of this COVID thing and how much it's been really a stressor in all of our lives, the church, all over the world. We look at the idea of things that are going on all over the world. Do you realize how much right now the saber, so to speak, is rattling of how many different countries are just even looking at the idea of war right now? We think about what is the future of our own country, the United States? What's the future? Maybe you have been storing up financially. Maybe you've been preparing to enjoy life. What happens if all that is completely removed from you? What happens if your job suddenly disappears, your workage slows down or whatever? What happens if your health deteriorates and nobody seems to have any idea what's going on? And you go to whomever, whatever, doctor, whatever, situation you try, your health doesn't get better. What about all that this year? Do you know what's going to take place? No. Do I know what's going to take place? No. But we do know this. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us the mind of Christ. He's given us the wisdom of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God lives in you, then you are to be directed by the Spirit of God. And you are to allow the Spirit of God to direct your life. And that's why he has told us in the next verse, we've not received the spirit of the bondage to fear. God has not given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to walk in fear. You look at 2 Timothy 1:7, and I know you know these verses, and it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, of love, and what is the last one? A sound mind. What is a sound mind? A sound mind is walking by faith, trusting God, that he's going to direct our steps. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Do you know what God has planned next? We do know things that are written in the Word of God, but yet the Word tells us in that same verse, we have the mind of who? Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and the Spirit of God living in us, he's given us his word and he's given us his mind of understanding and wisdom so that we can make decisions, so that we can trust him. Then we ask ourselves, why then is it so difficult? Why are the trials so difficult? Somebody like myself, who's an older adult, has gone through a lot of various things in life. And you look back and you look at the things that you've gone through and the things that you've trusted the Lord with. And I and my wife have known abundance, and I and my wife have known nothing at all but trusting each day God supplies our needs. We know of what it's like to have finances, and we know what it's like when the finances are removed. You ask God why. He don't give you the answer. He says, trust me. We know what it's like to have a son and not even sure he's going to make it. God worked through all of this. He give us the strength to go through all this. And yet you come to a day like today and you know not the future and you wonder what is next. You know, sometimes I think we kind of walk short-sighted, I call it. Do you ever think about those who have gone on before us in the last 6,000 years who have walked in the Lord Jesus Christ? What was it like when the church began and the church was persecuted to such a great extent? What was it like during a period of time when people of the local church were thrown in the lion's den for entertainment? What was it like when Nero hung Christians on a lamp pole and put them on fire for streetlights? Can we be persecuted yet in such a manner? Do you know? I think a lot of Christians say, that can't happen to us. We're going to be raptured before all that takes place. I trust that's true. But do we know? Go to James chapter 1, verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? Give you patience? Do you ever pray for patience? Are you a real patient person? God says, the patience of the trying of your faith becomes what? A perfect work. So that it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, but total trust in Him. And how is that total trust in Him? He says, if you lack wisdom, what? Ask Him. He gives it to us. He gives it to us liberally. He doesn't hold back, so that we can understand. But He says, let him ask, believing in faith. Trusting that God knows what He's going to say and do. Not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea and with the wind tossed. When you waver, will you get the right answer? It says, let that man think that he might not receive that. How do you get to a place where your trust is such a place that you can walk and just say, whatever you want, God, I'm doing it and trusting you in it? Trials. Trials that we go through in life bring us one of two things. Either brings us closer to God, and where you'll come to the place where you're going to walk and completely trust God and believe that when God has given you a decision to make, you make that decision trusting in Him through the truth of His word and knowing what He says in His word, and you will walk with confidence and trust in Him, or you will do your faith through flesh, knowledge, and ideas. And if you do your faith through fleshly knowledge and ideas, you will become disappointed, you will become discouraged, and you will blame God that He didn't come through for you. And this is where the trial of our faith is. Notice the verses that we read in Hebrews chapter 11. If you're in Hebrews, near Hebrews, you look at verse 11, chapter 11, verse 17. It says, by faith, when Abraham was what? Tried. He offered up Isaac. The trying of your faith. This is why we want to just take a look at Abraham, things we know, and the trials that he went through, because we know that God used Abraham in the scriptures, and Abraham walked through faith and showed that he trusted God after a period of time. Abraham went through quite a number of trials. Not every trial that he went through was he perfectly walking in God's footsteps. We know that through things that we look at. And these are some of the things that we want to look at this morning. For example, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12. And when you look at Genesis chapter 12, you'll notice here that this is the first time we see in the scriptures where God speaks to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, I want you to also remember, it seems because many people think about the children of Israel and so forth and so on. When God spoke to Abraham and said to him what we're going to read here, they had not gone through Egypt. They had not crossed through the Red Sea. They had not gone to Mount Sinai for the law given to them. They were not considered the Jews yet. This was to come out of the loins of Abraham. Abraham and Job were living around the same period of time. What was the knowledge of God during that period of time? That which they received from Adam and his generations to Noah and through Noah. And when we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God speaking to Abraham. God tells us in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, and he said, more brethren and fathers, hearken, the glory of God appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. How did God speak to Abraham? It tells us the glory of God appeared unto him and spoke to him. Did Abraham know about God? If he did, it doesn't tell us much about it. But one of the things it does tell us here in chapter 12, verse 4, so Abraham, what? Departed. He was obedient as what the Lord had spoken to him. He trusted that God, when he spoke to him, was going to do what he said he would do. Now we go down to verse 7 in the same chapter, and we notice the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said again, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now we see Abraham here in verse 7, build an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. We didn't see that the first time. Abraham walked from a way where he was living into a place he had no idea where he was going. Now he builds an altar to the Lord. We now see Abraham begin to call. In verse 8, it says, and he removed from thence into the mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and he did what? Called on the name of the Lord. Now he's communicating with God. He's not just obeying him. He's talking back and forth with the Lord. Abraham is now starting to build a relationship, a faith, a trust in God, and a communication with him and God. What does God tell him again later? Look at chapter 13. God says to Abraham in chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord appeared unto Abraham after that Lot was separated from him. He said, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, all the land that thou seest, I will give it to thy seed, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I give it unto thee. How many children did Abraham have at this time with Sarah? Not a child. Not one. And God says, all that you see, you're going to possess. Your seed will possess it. They'll be as the dust of the earth. You have no children in your house. You look around and you say, okay, God, I believe you. You have no food in your cupboards. God says, get out your dish and your pots and pans and prepare to make a meal. Okay, God, there's not a thing in the cupboard. You get the pans out and set them on the stove, and someone knocks on the door. The Lord laid in my heart to bring some groceries to you. Did you ever have that happen? My wife and I did. Can you trust God like that? Can you live like that? This is what God does. Continue on in this. Abraham was sure God needed his help, though. He was sure that God had his way and his ideas and everything, and he's going to trust God in all this, but God's going to need a little help in doing this. So we go to chapter 15, and it says in verse 1, after these things, chapter 15, Genesis. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, I want you to stop just 1 minute here, and I want you to tell you this. God is saying to Abraham, I am your sovereign God, and I will supply all your needs in abundance. Okay, God. Abraham said, all right, what are you going to do? I have no children in my home. Now, I do have this servant, Eleazar, and he could have children, and I could claim them children for my children in my household. I'm giving you the story as I'm reading it. He says, lo, one born in my house would be considered my heir. Verse 3, but the word of the Lord came unto him and said this, thou shalt not, this Eleazar's seed shall not be thy heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels and shall be thine own heir. And I want you to catch that point right there, coming out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. Your seed, Abraham, out of your own loins is going to be your heir. And then he brings him out. And he says to him, now look around at the stars. Have you ever laid at night, I did as a child, in the dark, and look up at the sky and see how many stars are there and try and count them? God says, do this. Well, you can't count after a while. You get too many and you can't figure out how many there is. And God says to him, I want you to know this is how many people you're going to have in your seed. Oh, what did Abraham do? Abraham, in verse 6, believed God. And in believing God, it was counted to him for righteousness. It was given to him in his faith and walk as he is believing God and righteous in God. We see Abraham walking more in a deeper faith now. His faith is trusting God, and God says righteousness is imputed to him because of his faith. Now we come to another trial, chapter 16. Here we see something happen. Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. Verse 1 of chapter 16, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. I want to stop there a minute. When you read the scriptures about Abraham and Sarah, you see that Sarah is a very beautiful lady. As a very beautiful lady gets older, she still maintains older beauty. But the younger beauty kind of fades away a little bit, doesn't it? And she's getting older, and the way of childbearing is not happening anymore. And she says, I have this young maid that helps me go into him. God told Abraham, it's your seed out of your loins. So Abraham says, okay, she's a pretty nice looking maid. I'll obey you and I'll go to her. A little fleshly idea here. Walking by faith to a certain extent, but helping God along because it's also kind of nice in the flesh. And Abraham does this. Verse 4, he went into Hagar, she conceived, and she bare a son. Sarah gets very angry now with Abraham, and she says to Abraham, what I did and said to you is your problem. You were wrong. You should have never listened to me. I gave my maid to you, and you decided to just go ahead and do it. I want you to realize that my God is going to judge you for what you did between you and me. It was you. Have any of you men that are married been married a long time, and your wife says things and you really cringe at the idea, but because she's your beautiful wife, you say, okay. And then later, you're the one that did it. This is what happened. I want you to notice, though, that in all of this, God keeps his promise to Abraham that through his seed, the earth would be blessed. In chapter 16, verse 7, the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And he says to Hagar, Sarah's maid, why are you here? Whither will you go? And she said, I'm fleeing from my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress, Sarah. Submit to your mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will do as I promised to Abraham, and I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall be numbered for multitude. God keeps his promise, even when we go fleshly. The Lord said, you're going to bear a son, in verse 11, and you'll call his name Ishmael. We see then in chapter 17, it's 100 years that Abraham is now old, 25 years after being first told. Sarah is now 90 years old. And God comes to Abraham in chapter 17, verse 15, and he says to Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarah, a princess of a multitude, is what he's saying, shall her name be, and I will bless her and give her thee a son also of her. I will bless her, she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. And Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him 100 years old and Sarah 90 years old? Did you ever see anything like this? Abraham says to God, oh God, Ishmael's right here before you. You said his seed would be great. No, Abraham. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with Isaac for an everlasting covenant, and his seed after him. Yes, he says, as for Ishmael, I've heard. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful. I will multiply his seed exceedingly. He will have 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. Did Abraham have Isaac? Yes. Did Isaac have Jacob? Yes. Was there 12 nations out of Jacob? Yes. But God also said out of Ishmael is 12 nations. But God says in verse 21, my covenant is with you and Isaac, and Sarah shall bear Isaac to you. And God left off talking. Sarah laughed at this, chapter 18, because in verse 10 she says, shall I now have a child according to the time of life? Shall I now have a son? Abraham and Sarah were old, verse 11, and they were well stricken in years. And Sarah laughed within herself. Am I that waxed old and have pleasure from my Lord? Notice the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? I love this verse 14. Is anything what? Too hard for the Lord? Write that verse down, hang it on your refrigerator, and look at it every day. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What can't the Lord do? Sarah conceived, she bore a son in her old age. Abraham, verse 3 of chapter 21, if you're wondering where I'm at, chapter 21, verse 2, verse 3, Abraham called his son Isaac. Verse 6, Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should give her child suck at 90 years old? All this that Abraham goes through. And then there's a number of other trials that Abraham goes through. But then comes the greatest trial of all, which we were looking at and talking about this morning when the scriptures were read, chapter 22. That which we read in Hebrews 11:17, the trial of Abraham's faith. Notice in chapter 22, verse 1, it says, God did try Abraham. He said, Abraham said, I'm here. Take your son. You mean the son that I just had and has grown now? They're 30 years old now, Lord. Yes, that son. The one you love. The one out of you and Sarah's loins. Take him to the land of Moriah. Put up an altar. Put him on the altar and offer and sacrifice him there. Why, yes, indeed, Lord, I would be glad to do that. What brings you to that point of trusting God? We read it. The trial of your faith works patience. Each step of your life brings you in a more closer, perfect relationship with the Lord and trust in Him. Notice Abraham in verse 3 of chapter 22 rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went to the place where God told him. The third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 4, and he saw the place afar off, and Abraham says to the men who were with him, you stay here, Isaac and I are gone yonder. He said, we will come back to you. Did Abraham change his mind at that point and say, I'm just going to go up the mountain, build a fire, and bring Isaac back down? No. No, we read in the scriptures in Hebrews, Abraham believed God would raise him from the dead. And so Abraham took his son up on Mount Moriah, built the altar, got the fire, took his son, bound him, put him on, and we notice his son Isaac is obedient all the way, and his son says to Isaac, Dad, why are you doing this? Why aren't we offering a burnt lamb? Abraham says, God's going to provide the lamb. Did God provide the lamb? Absolutely. What did John say when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist? He said, behold the what? The Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. What do we see in Revelation when John sees the Lord Jesus Christ? A lamb that had been sacrificed. God provide himself a lamb. And Abraham put his son on the altar, got everything ready, raised his knife on Isaac, was going to take Isaac's life. And the angel of the Lord, verse 11, stopped and said, "Wait, stop." And the Lord says to him, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son." Did God know that from his actions, or did God know that from his heart? His heart and his actions were one, and God knew it. God knew he wasn't just playing a game. He was believing God would do what God said he would do. And he trusted him. In verse 15, it says, "The angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, in thee I will bless thee. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sands of the sea. Thou shalt possess the gates of thy enemies. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The key. What we read in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, believing that he would receive the promise and counting that God would raise him from the dead. Abraham's faith was proven. Look at James chapter 2 and see what I'm talking about. James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, in verse 21, it says this: "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Do you get by heaven by doing good works? No. But was he justified by the works that he did? Yes. Because why? Verse 22. "See how his faith wrought his works." His faith in God, his heart being perfect with God, he walked and did that which he believed. And that's where we need to be today if we're going to go through the trials of our faith. What are the trials of your faith for the next year? You don't know, and I don't know. But I know this, 1 Peter 1:7 again says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, even making gold the most beautiful gold by trying it by fire, you are being made perfect through the trials you are going through," it says in verse 7. And what's it say? "So that you might be found unto him, praise and honor and glory at his appearing." And that's the goal of the trial of our faith. Amen.